WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Tear gas in Chicago, used on protesters at the scene of a car crash. Immigration agents chased an undocumented immigrant who tried to get away.
Residents nearby gathering at the scene, the crowd growing hostile, throwing eggs at federal agents, then rocks. Agents responding by firing tear gas. Several people were arrested.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. Homeland Security says the immigrant rammed into a Border Patrol vehicle. Overnight, Los Angeles declared a state of emergency over federal immigration raids. Hamas has handed over the bodies of four people, but Israel says one of them is not the remains of a hostage. Hamas says it is working to return all the bodies of the hostages as agreed to in the ceasefire deal. It accuses Israel of violating that deal with shootings in Gaza yesterday. The Supreme Court today to hear arguments in voting rights whether Louisiana has to use race as a factor in drawing voter maps. This is ABC News.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to WISS, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Taylor Swift has gotten tons of attention lately, first for having the number one movie and number one album in America, and then for showing up at her first Chiefs game since her engagement to Travis Kelce was announced, making her pretty much the first lady of the Kansas City Chiefs. But if anyone saw the recent Us Weekly, they would know that Taylor's got some stiff competition, as the headline read, "Brittany Mahomes rocks white shirt and denim while kissing Patrick Mahomes at Chiefs game," and you thought it was a slow news week. If you actually take time out to read the article, she also had a red handbag and let her long blonde locks fall in soft waves. Damn, I've been trying to break that story for weeks. But if you thought that was juicy, Us Weekly recapped two of Britney's Instagram posts. That's right, folks. In America, you have the option of reading about social media posts a couple days later as opposed to reading them hot off the send button. And if all that fails, you can listen to someone make fun of the posts and the article in my Hollywood Beats. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers head to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, Game 3 of the NLCS. Tomorrow evening at 5:08 between the Brewers and Dodgers, the crew losing last night's game 5-1. Do the Brewers need to improve their focus? Pitcher Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, we have to, 100%. It's not fun to be 0-2, you know, going to L.A. I think we have to turn the page and try to come back in Los Angeles.
The Brewers have only two runs on five hits for the series so far. They've struck out 15 times. Pat Murphy.
You know, we chased way more than we've chased all year. We've been the best in baseball at not chasing. These pitchers brought out the worst in us.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Thunder, 116-112 at Fiserv Forum in their final preseason game.
Again, it was not our best basketball game, but offensively, we were really good. If we can play the same type of offense that we played tonight, you know, we're going to be pretty happy.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, TV host, and host of the Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel. Then Tim Sowers from the Overture Center joins me to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Maybe a lingering shower or sprinkle early. Otherwise, you can expect mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid to upper 50s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid 40s. On your Thursday, an isolated shower possible. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with highs in the mid 60s. It's 48 degrees at our studios.
everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4, for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody, join us next time on location for the Majestic Theater in Waukesha, Wisconsin, for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Filmmakers, former Packers, all on the show.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Well, you might need a sweatshirt or a sweater today. We've got rain falling in Madison right now. It's a little on the chilly side. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. I'll keep you warm right here on the radio. Yeah, it is going to be one of those days where the clouds stick around, the rain doesn't amount to much, and temperatures a little on the cool side. 59 are expected high today, cooler as you head north. 80% chance of rain. Like I said, it's raining now in Madison, but only less than a tenth of an inch expected out of this system. Cloudy tonight, down to 50 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine returns. 68 are expected high with a little bit of a breeze. Then on Friday, partly sunny skies. 73 are expected high. By Friday night, another chance of showers or thunderstorms could be moving through. But again, like I said, none of these storms seem to be bringing more than maybe a quarter, a half an inch at most by the time we get to Friday night. We'll find out about the outlook. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, about 15 minutes down the road. Also this morning, as we kind of get ready for the fall prep, you don't want to be trimming those trees too soon. If you have a tree that you depend on for early spring flowers, leave it alone. That's advice from the University of Wisconsin Extension staff. Stephanie Hoff's got that little tidbit for us. We're also going to the fields to find out how the harvest of 2025 is unfolding with our friends from Wiffles. Up next, Bob Bosol joins us. A Wisconsin native was a special honoree during World Dairy Expo this year. Talking with Jim Mulhern, now retired chief executive officer and president of the National Milk Producers Federation. He's up next.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility.
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone. Kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
They say you can't come home again, but Jim Mulhern did just that at the recent World Dairy Expo, where the big barns were full of big dairy cows. Jim Mulhern, of course, a Wisconsin native who went to Washington, worked in the dairy industry for many, many years, ending his career as president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation, Industry Person of the Year at World Dairy Expo, following that long and very successful career in the dairy industry.
This is an incredible honor for me, one that I frankly never expected. I look at that long list of people who have won this award in the past, and my God, it's the Hall of Fame of Dairy. So to be considered among those elites in this industry is just a tremendous honor for me, and it's great to be back in Wisconsin.
I always look at it as you don't win these awards, you earn these awards for a career. Started in Washington with Senator Cole.
Well, actually, it started here in Madison. Graduated of the University of Wisconsin College of Agriculture in Ag Journalism. My first job was in a dairy co-op right here in Madison, first 3 years after college. Then I went out to Washington, worked on both sides of Capitol Hill, was actually a lobbyist for the milk producers for National Milk in the mid-'80s. You know, that whole herd buyout program was one that I helped push through Congress. And then I became Senator Cole's chief of staff. It's been, for me, just an incredible career.
And you started with the whole herd buyout program, as you said, and the different adventures we've had, for lack of a better term, in the dairy industry. Go through some of those in your mind that you worked on, were part of, helped formulate, starting with, as you said, the whole herd buyout.
Well, you know, even before the whole herd buyout, the very first program that I helped get enacted was the Dairy Diversion Program in 1982. I was still here in Madison. That idea of the Dairy Diversion Program came out of the Midwest as a way to, we had chronic surpluses. The federal government was spending about $2.5-3 billion a year in dollars back then. That's probably, you know, $4.5 billion today's dollars. But surplus production, trying to get under control. Diversion worked on a temporary basis, but as soon as it came off, production came right back. And that led to the whole herd buyout in 1985. Again, chronic overproduction, had to try to get supply and demand in better balance. Whole herd buyout worked on a temporary basis, but it wasn't a solution. You know, we had major drought legislation in the late 80s, a lot of nutrition issues I've worked on over the years. Fast forward to, you know, the last 10 years, getting what is now the Dairy Margin Coverage Program into place. Started with the Margin Protection Program. We made some changes in the last Farm Bill to make it much more effective as the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. But trade policy battles we've engaged in, the nutrition policy I mentioned, trying to get whole milk back in schools. It's a long list of issues that I've had the honor of working on. We've won a lot of those battles. We've lost some of those battles, and some are still in progress. And you know, I didn't mention the federal milk marketing orders, critically important program for dairy producers in this country. And I've had the honor of working in through two of the major updates to that program, both the consolidation in the late 90s and early 2000s, and then the most recent effort to modernize the program to keep it more up to date to today's dairy industry. So it's been a tremendous career with lots of issues, and I'm pleased that we've had, you know, several major accomplishments.
Major accomplishment, the structure of this industry has changed so much. When you and I were both at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, we had many, many more thousand dairy farms in Wisconsin than we do now, and all over the country. It's getting bigger. It's big, better. And those questions we've had to try and answer over the years. But has it been the forces of economics that have made it the way it is now?
It really has. It is that. I remember when we were younger, in our younger days, when I first came into the industry in a professional capacity, I think we had, you know, 45,000 dairy farms here in the state of Wisconsin. We're down to, 5,000 farms today? We have actually as many or more cows on those farms than we had back then. And that's something that I've, you know, wrestled with for a long time, to see that decline in the number of farms. Industry has grown stronger, and it is those economic forces. You know, you think about the size of a dairy farm back in the late 70s, early 80s, when we were younger. And I think a Wisconsin herd was 30, 35 cows back then. Those have grown much larger in many operations. But the reality is, you know, 35 to 85 cows, that's a hard way to make a living today. You know, just the cost of living in society, you need a larger operation with the expense of everything involved in dairying. So what I have concluded over time is we're not any different in this industry than every other industry. And change is part of life. A lot of those farms didn't have someone to take over, or when they sold off, it went to another farm, got consolidated a bit. We have a lot of jobs related to the industry today. So you're not milking cows, but you're working in the industry. So I think it's the fact of life. And the industry, in my mind, is stronger today in terms of the quality of the milk we're producing, the strength, the productive capacity of this industry across the country is incredible, and it's second to none in the world.
There's no question about that. Jim Mulhern with us. Again, Jim, long career in the dairy industry, a Wisconsin boy, came back to World Dairy Expo to receive his honor as the industry person of the year. And Jim, as you look back on all those things, from starting with the whole herd buyout, what are you, I guess, most proud of, or what did you work the hardest on? What was the toughest to get through? Because we know none of those programs are ever perfect. They don't fit everybody. You know, we're looking at DMC now, and we need to change maybe the feed calculator in there to get payments. Otherwise, we're going to have no payments. So no program is perfect. But as you look at it, what are you kind of the most proud of? Some of the issues you tackled over the years.
Well, you know, there really are so many of those battles. You asked about which was the toughest. I can't think of a single major accomplishment that we made that wasn't a tough battle, just because of the nature of this country and the politics that, you know, we're just so split as a country. I will tell you honestly, the thing that stands out most for me is the people I've had a chance to work with. That's what I remember. Just incredible leaders in the producer community and the dairy co-op community across this country. People willing to come into the room with a point of view, but being willing to work together and come up with a collective solution. When I started this industry many years ago, we had lots of regional battles. Every part of the country was trying to do their own thing, and you can't. We're the United States of America. Dairy policy has to be for this country. One of the things I'm most proud of is when I came back to National Milk to lead the organization, I had a history of going through those regional battles, and I said, I don't want to do that. It's a waste of our time, waste of your time, to go to Capitol Hill with a divided industry. So if we can't get together, let's not push something forward. And I was so pleased over the 10 years of my leadership at National Milk that issue after issue, we worked out in the room, had those different points of view. We came up with a policy that everybody could support, almost everybody could support, went to Capitol Hill. And when we did that, we were successful. And that was a great lesson, I think, that just built upon success, that we got to get our act together internally before we go to Capitol Hill. That was, I think, working with people willing to make compromises and come up with solutions that nobody got everything, but everybody benefited by the policies that we were able to put together.
Jim Mulhern, longtime national and international dairy leader who did a lot for the dairy industry and was recognized for his work as Industry Person of the Year at World Dairy Expo in Madison. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Oral arguments in Louisiana versus Calais are scheduled for October 15th in the U.S. Supreme Court, with interpretation of the 14th and 15th Amendments under debate and the Voting Rights Act in the balance. The 14th Amendment enshrines civil and legal rights of formerly enslaved Americans. Section 1 says in part, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States." And in what became known as the Equal Protection Clause, "nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." The 15th Amendment states, "The right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude." But Black, Native, and other minority voters faced another 100 years of discrimination before Congress enforced it with the Voting Rights Act of 1965. President Lyndon Johnson told Congress,
"Our fathers believed that if this noble view of the rights of man was to flourish, it must be rooted in democracy. The most basic right of all was the right to choose your own leaders. The history of this country, in large measure, is the history of expansion of that right to all of our people.
Find a live stream link for the October 15th, 10 a.m. arguments at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW political science professor Barry Burton and Professor Charles Franklin, the pollster from MU Law School. We discuss the shifts in Trump's approval ratings and the divide within Dems. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Hey, Cheetah forgot to put his rain gauge back out after a little lawn work yesterday, Stu. Time for our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial, your financial partner. Whether you're involved in agriculture or looking for that hunting ground, that's getting to be about that time of the year, hunting ground, or just a little slice of paradise, compure.com. What do you got as far as rainfall reports this morning?
They're all over the board. I've got Fond du Lac at 18 hundredths of an inch, the cheese capital of the world, Plymouth, 11 hundredths of an inch, Milwaukee, 13 hundredths of an inch, and then we start to add up. Wausau, 22 hundredths, Eau Claire, 4 tenths, Mauston, 54 hundredths, La Crosse, 67 hundredths, the report this morning.
Interesting. So, well, that just keep them coming, folks. We'll take whatever you got this morning. That's going to be changing a little bit today, isn't it?
Yeah, there's still some rain around southern Wisconsin, Pam. I'll call it the southern half of the state. Oh, over toward Black River Falls, that area down toward Fond du Lac, a little heavier down along the lake shore as we look toward West Bend, down toward Milwaukee, Racine. So there's still some rain around this morning, scattered showers. Not a thunderstorm, nothing like that going to build in. There's a warm front that's tried to edge up out of the south. The warm front, southern Nebraska, southern Iowa, northern Missouri, and down into Illinois. It tries to push north, may keep a little rain around for a time this morning. We dry it out then as we wrap up the day or even head into the day tomorrow. But then another small chance around just into Thursday, another small chance a little later Friday. It's going to be a little more on the cloudy side here as we head toward the end of the week. Can't say it's suddenly going to become sunny and really warm, because clouds and every now and again a little rain will be in the picture. Not going to flood us out, but there'll be a little rain now and again on and off right on toward the weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, you should feel very welcome. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke speaking from experience. The retail location on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg has that feel. You'll notice it on their website, BavariaSausage.com, and you'll see it on their posts on Facebook. Bavaria Sausage not only features their old world flavors, their recipes, their combinations, and all the food that they make, but they also highlight real Wisconsin products in their recipes, in their store, flavors from syrups to mustards to treats, all with Wisconsin stories that they love to share. When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, it's not just about their story, it's about Wisconsin food stories. Check it out. Shop online anytime, BavariaSausage.com. Follow them on Facebook for their latest menu updates, or visit corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand 4-seedless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm!
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility! Yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, well, that scattered rain in the southern part of the state this morning. Otherwise, cloudy skies, maybe a few more breaks in the north. Temperatures, unfortunately, today only into the upper 50s or around 60, with east winds about 5 to 10. Overnight, mostly cloudy. Again, a small chance of rain in the west late tonight. I'd expect those nighttime lows in the upper 40s, just very low 50s at best with these breezes. That chance of a little rain early on Thursday, mostly cloudy, even partly sunny further east and south tomorrow, at least a little break. And those temps rise up into the low and even mid-60s. And by Friday, again, some chance of rain, a little scattery showers around. But the warmest day of the week, Pam, probably up into the upper 60s to low 70s, maybe a mid-70 in the south on Friday. But a little rain chance will start to cool it off again to start the weekend.
All right. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and see where we stand. Rainfall reports for right now are the welcome conversation. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Let us know what's happening in your backyard this morning on our Midwest Farm Report talk text line. We've got another new tool that we're talking about coming up, a way for you to call us. Send us video as well as pictures. Stick around. Details on that coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview on John and Gordy in the Morning when they're joined by the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke.
The Department of Ag has a problem with Wisconsin stockyards, yep. Livestock yards.
This is something that's going to impact potentially farmers no matter what they market. So what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is proposing are really, really escalated fees for the license that they give to the markets that sell cattle, the people that truck the cattle from the farm to the market. I'm not kidding you. I'll just ask you guys this. If you got a bill in your house that went up 1,666%.
Wow.
I think that, well, first of all, I think you might require medical attention.
Right.
But, you know, the catch with this one is farmers don't have a choice. If the department decides they're going to charge these fees for their services, it really is like a fine. I talked to Kurt Larson, who is the president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative. They must have, I want to say, about 11 livestock yards where cattle are brought to a central location. Buyers come to that location, and that's where the business is transacted. Well, if this fee goes into place, it goes from $400 a year per location to more than $7,000 per year for that same location. Now, to you and I, that seems just absolutely ludicrous.
It is.
But they say that these rules have not been changed since 2009, and it's necessary to finance the program. Now, Kurt Larson has done a lot of work on the numbers. He said that there is no justification in the hours that the Department of Ag staff is spending giving these licenses to justify that. The other thing he said is a lot of this is about traceability. You know how consumers want to know where an animal came from, what farm and all that. And he said that's really a food safety issue that farmers are already dealing with by putting ear tags in their animals so they know where it's coming from by keeping really good records, especially in Wisconsin with all our dairy cows. And he said in other states where this has become an issue, there are shared parties that split divvy these license fees. So this I'm telling you, this is a dust up in a big way. The fees are going to get passed on to the farmer. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we already are doing our part.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Tear gas in Chicago, used on protesters at the scene of a car crash. Immigration agents chased an undocumented immigrant who tried to get away.
Residents nearby gathering at the scene, the crowd growing hostile, throwing eggs at federal agents, then rocks. Agents responding by firing tear gas. Several people were arrested.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio, Homeland Security says the immigrant rammed into a Border Patrol vehicle.
Overnight, Los Angeles declared a state of emergency over federal immigration raids. Hamas has handed over the bodies of four people, but Israel says one of them is not the remains of a hostage. Hamas says it is working to return all the bodies of the hostages as agreed to in the ceasefire deal. It accuses Israel of violating that deal with shootings in Gaza yesterday. The Supreme Court today to hear arguments in voting rights whether Louisiana has to use race as a factor in drawing voter maps. This is ABC News.
The Brewers head to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, Game 3 of the NLCS. Tomorrow evening at 5:08 between the Brewers and Dodgers, the crew losing last night's game 5-1. Do the Brewers need to improve their focus? Pitcher Freddy Peralta.
Yeah, we have to, 100%. It's not fun to be 0-2, you know, going to L.A. I think we have to turn the page and try to come back in Los Angeles.
The Brewers have only 2 runs on 5 hits for the series so far. They've struck out 15 times. Pat Murphy.
You know, we chased way more than we've chased all year. We've been the best in baseball at not chasing. These pitchers brought out the worst in us.
NBA, the Bucks lose to the Thunder, 116-112 at Fiserv Forum in their final preseason game.
Again, it was not our best basketball game, but offensively, we were really good. If we can play the same type of offense that we played tonight, you know, we're going to be pretty happy.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Bob Kennedy Jr. says that circumcision could be linked to autism via Tylenol. Dr. Kristen Lierley will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Maybe a lingering shower or sprinkle early. Otherwise, you can expect mostly cloudy skies with highs in the mid to upper 50s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid 40s. On your Thursday, an isolated shower possible. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with highs in the mid 60s. Currently, it's 49.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matinere.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Maggie Dawn Show interview with 32nd State Senate District Senator Brad Pfaff.
I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. It means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. You care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside all over this nation, the thing is, there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace, and it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I pushed legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain, make sure that we have more small town meatpacking facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meatpacking place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops, and it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are family-owned operations. They're on Main Street, and it's a win-win for our consumers as well, because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, again, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger, the more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger as far as purchase more land, and you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Net and Air on Air.
0.7 FM, 1670 AM.
The Zone.
Well, what's going on in your farm field? Hey, I tell you what, we've got a brand new tool for you to communicate with us. Maybe you want to send us a picture of the fall colors in your backyard, or how about the moisture readings on the combine, whether it's corn or soybeans. You can share it all with us here at the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, and I wanted to let you know that we have now launched a brand new app that allows you to communicate directly with us. You can use your voice, you can send a picture, you can send a video, whatever it may be. You can do it through our Midwest Farm Report app. So all you need to do is go to your Play Store, Apple or Android, and look for Midwest Farm Report. When you find it, the simple click is send. It's pretty easy. I learned all about it yesterday, and I'm excited to share the details with you today. Fall colors in your backyard, how the harvest is going on, try the new Midwest Farm Report app to communicate directly with us. Well, you know, this weather is going to be a little frustrating for the next 24 hours or so if you're trying to move forward on the harvest. But the warmer temperatures we've got later this week could encourage you to do some fall cleanup, maybe get ready for winter. But if it involves pruning trees, you're going to want to stick around. If you've got a tree that you depend on every spring for your first pop of color, maybe a lilac or a dogwood, something like that, you might want to listen up. Stephanie Hoff found out that you need to keep your hands off those flowering trees, at least. She's got the details on the way. So today is the 15th day of October. What can I tell you? Not a lot of items for you this morning. On this day in 1951, I Love Lucy aired for the very first time on CBS. On this day in 1990, Mikhail Gorbachev was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And on this day, 1955, country music radio show Grand Ole Opry made its first broadcast appearance on TV in a live hour-long show on ABC. A couple little tidbits for you, and now you know. Well, let's find out what's happening with farm field harvests around really all of the upper Midwest. Our own Kylie Allen's got our Wiffles Wednesday update for you.
The combines are rolling, and the experts at Wiffles Hybrids are tuned in. Good morning to you on this Wiffles Wednesday. I'm Kylie Allen with the Midwest Farm Report. Today, we're catching up with Lucas Clayton. He's a district sales manager with Wiffles Hybrids. Lucas, what are farmers seeing in the fields?
Yeah, so, harvest definitely got off to an early start. A lot of that corn dried down pretty quickly towards the end, so, you know, allowed guys to get in there and get going. Yields have been kind of all over the place, but still, you know, probably a really good year as far as yields are looking. Corn is very dry coming out of the fields. Most of what I'm hearing is probably sub 20%. So allowing guys, you know, to really kind of get a pretty good move on harvest and, keep plugging away and getting those acres taken care of.
Well, we're always excited about a good yield. What are you hearing as far as the quality goes?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, from a whole plant quality, you know, stock quality is definitely something that's, you know, moved pretty quickly. You know, a lot of those plants have had a pretty challenging growing season and definitely, you know, getting those harvested and getting that corn into, you know, into your bins or to the local elevator is definitely something I would be doing. You know, with the drier corn allows us to kind of clip through more acres than maybe we would at, you know, in a different year.
So what are some of those challenges that you're seeing guys run into?
Yeah, so, you know, definitely kind of the summer we had, you know, we were really wet in August, or, you know, a good portion of the growing season started out really dry. But, you know, definitely some, you know, corn disease pressures coming in, seeing some even southern rust, which is, you know, pretty uncommon to see in our part of southwest Wisconsin. So, you know, kind of seeing some challenges on that. You know, kind of directing that to a couple newer products, like our 3654 is a brand new 103-day. It's got that power core and list trait with it, really handling the southern rust and some of that tar spot well. Another one, too, 4514, another power core. Traded hybrid, 106-day. Just both of those genetics, handling kind of some of the disease pressures and things we've seen this year, getting into some of them, you know, doing some of our plots and really liking the yield response that we're seeing out of those genetics.
Well, that southern rust conversation was really an interesting one that we were having quite a bit after seeing that here in southern Wisconsin. Tell me, I've got your website pulled up here on a tab, Harvest Progress Report. What's this about?
Yeah, so it's something we're doing new this year. You can go to wiffles.com. It's right on our homepage. You know, we're kind of doing weekly updates, you know, sending links right out to growers and kind of send, you know, having them send in, you know, how they're coming along with harvest, as well as, you know, others, you know, representing Wiffles, sending that information in. It's real time. You know, something people can just click that link and just kind of see how harvest is coming along and different areas, you know, that Wiffles is representing.
So if I'm looking at this map as a farmer, what do I want to take away from it?
I mean, it just kind of gives you a good idea of, you know, what's going on either in your part of the world or maybe different, you know, different areas as far as just harvest and agronomic things that we're seeing, updates. You know, some of our agronomists are, you know, have some of their things on there, too, of what they're seeing as well. So it's just a really good page to kind of just get some good information of, you know, real-time data that's going on as well as you know, real-time agronomics and things that we're taking away from this year, because there's been a lot to learn.
Yeah, there sure has. Well, hey, why was this a tool that Wiffles identified a need for?
Great question. It's something we did earlier in the spring, too. You know, we kind of did a planting progress map and felt that was very beneficial to farmers and, you know, wanted to take that opportunity. We learned from that and, you know, obviously now doing it again with the harvest. And, you know, anytime you can get real information helps you maybe make some better decisions for your operation and as you move forward and just great data from our agronomist as well and some of the insights that they have and takeaways from this year. Like I said, just stay safe with harvest and kind of look forward to you keep gathering this information that we have and make better, you know, as good of decisions as we can moving into next year.
Well, and we look forward to keeping track of it on the Harvest Progress Report.
You can find Wiffles Hybrid's Harvest Progress Report on their website under the Agronomy tab at wiffles.com. Lucas Clayton along with us, District Sales Manager at Wiffles. You can find their full suite of online tools right there online at wyffels.com. With you for this Wiffles Wednesday on the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist corn.
Yes, coach!
Vorseed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, coach!
And Vorseed Enlist has 3 modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Quiet in overnight electronic trade as far as our grain market's concerned. Right now, December corn's down a half at 412. November soybeans unchanged, 1006. July wheat, that's up a penny at 541. Yesterday, the barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese was up 3 3/4, 170 and 3/4, while AA butter gained 2 cents to $1.64 a pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is unchanged, 1638, and December's unchanged as well, 1661 a hundredweight. A new study is out that shows the financial damage that tariffs have done to production agriculture opportunities. As global dynamics continue to change, U.S. agriculture imports now exceed exports. A study out from the University of Illinois and Texas Tech University says the U.S. is importing much more than it exports. From 2017 to 2018, the dispute between the United States and China resulted in export values dropping by 73% for soybeans, 67% for wheat, 61% for corn, 37% for sorghum. The total value of lost agricultural exports amounted to about $14 billion. At the same time, the U.S. is losing export markets to other large grain producers like Brazil, Canada, Australia, and Ukraine. The only good news right now, according to the study, is that the U.S. is actively working on new trade agreements.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community, and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, TV host, and host of the Travel Tales podcast, Mike Siegel. Then Tim Sowers from the Overture Center joins me to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, WISS.
There are still going to be plenty of warm, dry days ahead to get fall projects done. If you want your yard to look good next year, some of that work begins this year. Stephanie Hoff's got an update you might want to pay attention to.
As the leaves change and temperatures drop, your yard is getting ready for a new season, too. Don't overlook landscaping projects this fall. Today, we're visiting with Dane County Extension horticulture educator Lisa Johnson on smart fall landscaping tips to keep your outdoor spaces ready to thrive come spring. First, she tells us there's not a specific date to get your fall landscaping to-do list done. That's going to require eyes on the forecast.
And unfortunately, no, there isn't a date. It's more weather dependent. And some years, like a couple years back, we had snow in like the middle of October and everything was still in full leaf like it is right now. And that's a problem, clearly. But we usually want to wait until leaves have fallen to do our fall cleanup. But sometimes that really backs up against what the weather's planning on doing. So I try to have everything done by the end of November, sometime in there. The Thanksgiving Day weekend is usually a great time to do that kind of thing if it hasn't already snowed. So that's the problem, is what Mother Nature's going to decide to do.
Well, end of November, that gives us some time here to get going and get
absolutely.
Planning. Mm-hmm. But some areas of the state did see frost.
Right.
We've seen patchy frost even in Dane County recently. Is that a telltale sign to get out there and start pruning, trimming, what have you?
So for our woody plants, we generally don't want to do any pruning until the leaves have fallen and they're well into dormancy. So that actually should not happen until ideally March, but February would be okay too. You just don't want to do it while it's too warm and we might end up with growth starting again or getting into the 50s, you know, that kind of thing. And we also don't want to do it when it's too cold. So I usually don't advise doing pruning in January and February.
For our leafier varieties, though, like the non-woody plants, mm-hmm. are we mowing them down like hostas, or are we digging up balls like irises, for example?
Yeah. So irises can be divided from September really through like early November, as long as the ground hasn't frozen. If you're going to be cutting down perennials, you do want to leave some stems of native plants for the insects that overwinter there. I've gotten a lot more laissez-faire about my care of the perennial garden, keeping in mind that we want to leave leaves on the beds in order for the insects to be able to overwinter there. In fact, I'm using leaves instead of mulch now.
And it doesn't impact the plant's regrowth for spring.
True, but there are caveats. Like, I would get rid of hosta leaves. There's nothing that's really going to be overwintering in those stems. But your natives, your asters, your goldenrods, those I would leave at least 12 inches of stem. I also would leave at least 12 inches of stem on mums because that protects the crowns. So don't cut your mums back until spring.
Speaking of mums, when I picked mine up at the hardware store, they said, hey, you know, you could plant these, you know, towards the end of the year. What does fall planting look like for some of these perennials? What can we put in the ground in Wisconsin in, say, November?
Yeah, it gets dicey, especially for mums. They are best planted as early as you can. So early in September, ideally no later than, you know, the beginning of October for best survival. They really don't root in very well, and they're very intolerant of heavy clay. So mums are a little bit iffy. But, you know, hostas you can certainly plant at this time of year with no problem. Any kind of wildflowers, anything that's really hardy is no problem still.
You mentioned in your perennial garden here, that's what we're standing in now,
yes,
correct?
Yes, the Dane County Extension Teaching Garden.
You are using leaves instead of mulch. I want to talk about mulch. What's the importance of fall mulching?
Right. So there's what we call winter mulching, and then there's summer mulching. So summer mulching, you may use bark, that's fine, or you can leave old leaves on the beds all year. That's the best thing to do for the insects. It's also cheaper. Now, if you want to winter mulch to like protect something you just planted later in the year, you want to wait till the ground freezes and then put it on. It's to keep the ground frozen, not to protect it from freezing. So that's the difference, is the spring and summer mulch is to protect from freezing and to also keep water in. But the winter mulching is to keep things frozen.
Should we consider fall fertilizer application?
You do that for the lawn early in September, but we really don't recommend doing it this late in the season.
Okay.
Because you don't want to encourage things to be growing right now. You want to encourage them to go into dormancy.
That's the advice from Dane County Extension horticulture educator Lisa Johnson. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey kids, is your teddy bear feeling sick? Don't you worry, the hospital is almost open. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you. And on Friday, October 24th from 5 till 7 p.m., head to the Building for Kids in Appleton, which will transform into a teddy bear urgent care during a free night hosted by Children's Wisconsin. You can bring your teddy bear or any stuffed animal for a checkup, engage in themed activities, and enjoy a free evening of play in the museum. Head to WISS.FM and click events to find out more.
A John Deere executive discusses ag tech advancements today on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthshoreProductions.com. You farmers and ranchers are used to taking risks. You know there's a certain probability that livestock could get a disease or a crop could be wiped out in a storm. But we also want you to think about the safety and health risks you face daily and take steps to beat the odds. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthshoreProductions.com. Technology is going to help American farmers work more efficiently in a costlier environment for doing business. That's what Alex Sayago, John Deere's Vice President of Marketing and Shared Services, told ag industry folks in Kansas City recently.
All of this technology holds a tremendous amount of promise, but that technology needs to be able to work day in, day out in a farm. And that requires planning. Sometimes might require a change in the process of how you go about running a certain operation. That requires continuous calibration and optimization of equipment. That requires a certain amount of steps. And there is a phenomenal opportunity for youngsters out there to help grower farmers accomplish just that.
Sayago added that U.S. farmers also have a very non-technical advantage over their foreign competitors.
Very few countries have the land mass and the amount of fertile soils that exists in North America. That is a very long-term, highly strategic asset that is incredibly difficult to have, and the U.S. has it. The U.S. has been and will be a breadbasket for the world for many years to come.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on location for the Majestic Theater in Waukesha, Wisconsin for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Filmmakers, former Packers, all on the show.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. The peace is holding, but not all the pieces are coming together. Israel says one of four bodies handed over by Hamas is not a hostage.
Israel is now threatening to reduce aid flowing into Gaza by half. Hamas has said it would be challenging to recover the remains because of the destruction in Gaza.
ABC Stephanie Ramos. Major airports across the country are refusing to play this new video from Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem over their airport monitors.
It is TSA's top priority to make sure that you have the most pleasant and efficient airport experience as possible while we keep you safe. However, Democrats in Congress refuse to fund the federal government.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson calling the video propaganda. The shutdown brings uncertainty to tens of millions of retirees who were supposed to hear today about their Social Security cost of living adjustment. That information has been delayed probably now until next week. This is ABC News.